wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Morning, everybody. I'm Andy Griffin. It's 9:09 on KDXU. Jack Lancaster is in studio right now
wearing
his Black Watch Polo Team. I guess that's just a shirt. I can't see you
it's
going to a polo.
It's just a shirt. Like I said, my wife buys my clothes. I just wear what she puts on my body.
Smart man.
Yeah.
Smart man. The lead story today, Jack, in the news, interesting, but a little bit misleading. So they're talking about the No Kings protests that took place around the country.
Right.
The organizers of it claim that more than 7 million people participated, including thousands in Utah and hundreds right here at Vernon Worthen Park. But some of the signs, listen to some of the signs for this, okay? So you're at a No Kings protest. The idea, I guess, is they're saying that Trump is acting like a king, et cetera, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
Some of the signs were protests against, let's see, government layoffs, the state of the economy, the Epstein files not being released, immigration raids. I'm like, wait.
So what does the Epstein files have to do with, I don't know.
It has to do with No King. Like, what?
Okay.
I don't get it. So
I thought the No Kings thing was like an immigration solidarity thing.
No. Basically, they're saying that Trump is acting like a king by sending troops into cities to take over. Somehow they've convinced themselves, I don't know who they is, but they've convinced themselves that Trump is somehow going to circumvent the more than two term limits thing and become king of our country, which
I can see why they think that if they believe that their own, propaganda, if you will. Mm. I understand why they think that, because he's really good at what's the word where trolling them.
Yeah. Oh, he is. Yeah. So Trump today put out a video. It was an AI video. It wasn't real.
Yeah.
Of him driving a fighter plane and dumping some sort of brown liquid on the No Kings protesters.
Oh, my gosh.
Imagine for yourself what that brown liquid might be. But yeah. I mean, you're right. He is so good.
He's raining on their parade.
Yes. So, but my question, so they did have a few signs about troops being deployed and authoritarianism. But for the most part, I'm looking at these signs and I'm going, what do they have to do with, I mean, there was a sign at one of them that said, which will heal faster, Trump's ear or Erica Kirk's heart? And I'm like, really?
Wow.
Are these people really saying that?
Yeah, they are.
I mean, I don't understand what's happening.
Here's the thing I like to do. I like to say, if Obama or Biden was doing the exact same thing, how would I feel?
Mm.
And I try to use that as a litmus test to say, is this something that I am biased for Trump? I'm for Trump, so therefore whatever he does, I'm okay with. Or is this something that I should be suspicious because I don't want any president doing this kind of thing, whatever that thing is. So, you know, because I am suspicious of too much power in the hands of two, three people, of course.
Sure.
But I don't know. Would I be concerned if President Obama was sending troops into Washington D.C. to fight crime? Probably not. Hmm. If he was,
not if they were leading the world in murders
and that. You know,
city,
if he sent them into Memphis, but at the invitation of the local authorities, would I be concerned about that? Again, at the invitation of the local authorities, maybe not. Now, that's one of the things you just kind of have to sit there and go. You know, what are we going to do?
Yeah,
because again, I worry about any one person getting too much power. So that kind of thing. On one hand, I think, well, you know, these folks have voted for it. This is the kind of world they want to live in. So let them suffer with it.
It's just troubling.
Is that too cynical?
It's just troubling to me, Jack, in that they seem to be okay with the political violence of things. At the No Kings rallies this weekend, there were, let's see, a man dressed as Charlie Kirk's assassin.
Oh, wow.
There was a woman reenacting.
Don't tell me that was here in town.
No.
Okay.
This was
nationwide. Oh, my gosh. We already had one of those.
A woman reenacting the moment Charlie was shot in the neck.
Wow.
A protester, when asked about Charlie Kirk, saying, I'm glad Hitler is dead. The crowd in one city was singing Bella Ciao, which was what was engraved in one of the bullets, the casings.
Oh, wow.
And then signs mocking Trump and Erica's injury, saying, I already said this, which heals faster, Trump's ear or Erica's heart? It's
wow.
All, it's just, it's troubling. And I
there was a young lady came into my place of business.
Mm-hmm.
About 3 weeks ago, and wanted me to hang some No Kings posters, and I'm sitting there thinking I couldn't remember what that meant, No Kings, and when I all of a sudden it hit me what everything was, like, oh no, I says you're in the wrong place, honey.
Sorry, I don't play chess, lady.
Yeah, take that somewhere else.
Yeah. By the way,
look who's here,
Celeste Malloy is here. Hi, Celeste.
Hi. Sorry, I'm a little late this morning.
No, it's okay. We understand. I told I had Jack scheduled, and then I got a text from your public relation lady and said, "Hey, do you want to have Celeste on Monday?" I was like, "I would love to. Let's see if Jack's cool with
of
that."
Of course.
I texted Jack, and he's like, "Are you kidding? Yeah, let's do this."
It's been a while since.
It's been a minute, hasn't it?
Yeah. It's fun.
So anyway, welcome, Celeste. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Driving down from Cedar City. Big crash last night, I guess, just south of Cedar on the northbound side. They shut the freeway down for 3 hours after that big crash. So I don't know if you'd heard about that.
I didn't even know about that. I just stayed home last night.
Good for you. Well, it was northbound. You probably wouldn't run into it much anyway. But,
yeah.
But still, yeah, not a cool thing.
So what's going on?
Well, one of the casualties of the government shutdown this morning was my calendar. It blanked out on me last night, so that's why I'm a little bit late. I forgot I had to be here this early. So I went from in pajamas with my hair up to dressed and out of the house in 10 minutes this morning.
You look fantastic,
you look great.
You look great, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Jack and I couldn't have gotten ready that quickly.
No, we don't do that.
Yeah. You're men. You could just run around.
Yeah, we just hair. Yeah.
Shower takes care of everything.
That's right,
Jack? Just get a shower, your hair's done. Yeah, you're good. So, Celeste, let's talk about, first of all, this No Kings thing that they're claiming millions of people participated in. A couple of things I found suspicious. First of all, a lot of the stuff that didn't even have anything to do with No Kings. And second of all, it seemed awfully well organized with pre-printed signs and things. Like, maybe there's some money behind this. Do you have any thoughts on all this?
Yeah, undoubtedly there's money behind it. I'm sure the fact that they call them the same thing all across the country means somebody's trying to master plan it. But I think what gets lost sometimes in the commentary on this is that when you have a protest, everybody who's got an axe grind about anything is going to show up.
Yeah.
And so they couch it as if, you know, there's millions of people all over the country protesting against President Trump. But if you look at the pictures from those rallies, there's like posters about immigration and some of the things you would expect at a rally where they're protesting the president. But then there's like Hamas flags and, you know, abortion things. And the president didn't do anything with abortion. That was the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And there's federal workers who are upset about the shutdown. And I even heard some commentators this morning saying, I don't know when President Trump's going to end the shutdown. This shutdown is squarely on the Senate at this point.
To do with
President Trump didn't shut the government
or the
down.
House for that matter.
Or neither did the House. Yeah. We funded it.
Yep.
And so there's just sort of this, if you create a magnet, it'll pull everything to it. So you have a rally, and everyone who's mad about anything will show up at the rally. And I think the people who are reporting on it know that, but they don't report on it that way. But if you see pictures, I mean, the signs are about everything. But there is a protest, and they're mad as hell, and they're not going to take it anymore. And so they show up about whatever it is.
About whatever it is. Wow.
Well,
that makes sense.
When I got here this morning, you know, first thing I do, I come in at 5 a.m. and I get the local newscast together, right? And the very first story on the wire was about the No Kings rallies. And it was, I couldn't believe the way it was worded. It was as if the reporter was being paid by whoever organized this thing, because it was all about how great it was and how they did this
he
and
was
how many millions.
Being a good reporter and reading the press release.
Yeah, I think so.
I've noticed, though, with the shutdown, you know, I follow that because that's on the legislative branch. Even though the House voted to fund the government, you know, as soon as the Senate does something, we're going to have to act. That unfortunately is my circus, so those are my monkeys, so I have to pay attention.
Yeah.
But I've noticed the reporting on that has started to change a little bit, and that for the first couple of weeks it was, you know, Republicans shut down the government. Republicans control the White House, the House, and the Senate, but they want to blame this on Democrats. The reporters kind of use the same playbook they've always used on shutdowns, which is blame Republicans. But I noticed this morning when I was scanning through some headlines in my pajamas because I didn't know I was going to run down here, that a lot of them are starting to say things like Senate Democrats are going to have to decide, blah, blah, blah. Like, even reporters are starting to have to say the truth.
Yeah.
Because there's no other way to explain it.
Right.
Like, if they call us back to vote, we're going to vote the same way we did before, which is fund the government. But the Senate has now voted 10 times. To shut down a clean 7-week CR. And yeah. I did a teletown hall this last week, and I had somebody call in who was clearly a conservative based on everything else he said. But he said, you know, you guys keep saying you funded the government, but I know there's a lot of crap in that CR. There really is not. This is not one of those CRs. It is absolutely clean. And the Senate's voted 10 times not to fund the government just for the 7 weeks it takes to do the appropriations bills. So Democrats have decided to die on the hill of the clean CR, even when we reopen the government, which we will eventually. It always reopens eventually.
Right.
Then we've still got to fight over the appropriations bills. It just feels like they chose the wrong hill to die on.
Yeah.
And the media has carried a lot of the water for them for the last couple of weeks, but they're finally having this.
Isn't there like 5 or 6 senators that are holding out and that's it?
It would take 7 Senate Democrats voting to keep the government open.
Okay.
And I think the most we've gotten so far is 4.
Oh, so really 3 more.
3. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. 3 more.
Hmm. Will you again kind of make it as clearly as possible that this is not, doesn't have anything to do with the House of Representatives or
no.
the President?
No.
Tell us what happened so people know clearly where it lands.
So the fiscal year for the federal government ends at midnight on September 30th. We have to get our appropriations bills done by then to keep the government funded. In the House, we have all 12 individual bills marked up and out of committee. 3 of them we've passed on the House floor, and those 3 bills are like 67% of government funding. So we were on track in the House. You know, we've had a few hiccups this year that have changed scheduling, but the Senate was behind us. So the Democrats said what they wanted was a clean, short-term CR to give us time to finish that appropriations process. So in the House, we passed a clean 7-week CR. So that would have given us until November.
CR mean continuing resolution.
A continuing resolution. Yeah. So it's the continuation of the budget as it exists now. The budget that Democrats voted for in March.
The exact same one.
We changed nothing. And we passed it in the House, and then it went to the Senate, and it failed in the Senate. So at midnight on September 30th, the government shut down. So everyone woke up October 1st, to a government shutdown, and I thought it would last less than a week. I thought Democrats would posture for a few days. It was Rosh Hashanah that week. No, Yom Kippur that week. And so I knew that they couldn't vote on, you know, Wednesday, Thursday. I thought they'll vote Friday. Government will open back up. Everything will be or that Monday at the latest, because I didn't think Democrats would choose a clean continuing resolution as their hill to die on. And I was very wrong on that. And the longer it goes on, the harder it is for them to back out of that position and admit that this was a nothing burger all along.
Yeah. That's like when you see someone and you can't remember their name.
Yeah.
And so you come, hey, you. And then after a day or an hour or whatever, you can't finally admit, I don't remember your name, because at that point
it's too late.
And after
you've been married to him for 3 years, it's shameful to admit you don't know their name.
Or their zipper's down or something. And
yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So if they're going to continue, I don't think that the Republican side or the president's going to blink.
I don't see any signs of blinking.
Yeah.
And even the Hill reporters that tend to carry a lot of water for the Democrats, they thought that we would give in to internal fighting, because that's what we do. As Republicans, we don't have hive mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody does their own thing. But we've stayed united on this. And for the last couple of weeks, everyone's been saying, well, both sides think they're winning. Both sides think they're winning. Now even the reporters are starting to admit the Democrats are not winning. Most Democrats blame Republicans for the shutdown. Most Republicans blame Democrats for the shutdown. And most independents blame both sides. But the longer it goes on, the more news people consume, the more people are forced to see that this really does come down to Senate Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to admit that even if they're on that side. But the thing I thought was interesting in the stats I was looking at, yes, most Democrats blame Republicans for the shutdown. However, most Democrats are also furious with their own leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Most Republicans are happy with our leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mike Johnson's doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
John Thune is putting that CR on the floor and making his body vote over and over to keep the government shut down, because he's forcing them to make a choice.
Right.
President Trump is signing peace deals in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Like we're happy with our leadership.
Sure.
The Democrats are furious with theirs. Hmm.
I don't understand something. How can the Democratic Chuck Schumer, I'm not sure of his title as a...
He's the minority leader.
How does he have the power to tell his senators on the Democratic side how to vote, and why would they pay attention to him when the senators have to answer to their state?
Yeah, Democrats are just more like that than we are. You know, they tend to follow their leadership. They like hierarchy more than we do, so they tend to fall in line. And that's how they've pulled off some of the things that I wish they hadn't been able to pull off in the last few years. When their leadership tells them to vote, they vote. But the funny thing about Chuck Schumer is he voted to keep the government open in March. He voted for the same CR in March.
Right.
And then the left wing of his party came after him.
Oh.
So this time he was like, well, I'm not going to get caught in that trap again.
Yeah.
So I'm not voting for it. I don't know if he can get himself out of this corner. He's going to have to hope someone else rescues him.
Yeah, it's about time he's done anyway.
So this time he voted to shut the government down, and now everybody's still furious. I mean, I think he'd have been better off voting for the clean CR and taking some short-term heat for that while we moved on. But now what does he do? He doesn't really have a good option. And Democrat leadership is so scattered right now. I don't know that they have anyone who can bring everyone together and say, okay, this is how we end this thing. And so they're sort of all out messaging and trying to make it our fault and trying to make it Trump's fault and trying to make it about everything except seven Senate Democrats. That really is what this comes down to, seven Senate Democrats.
Wow.
But there's nobody who can get the seven Senate Democrats together and say, okay, here's our plan. When we get X, we reopen the government.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they have. Mm. They're not solving for X. There's no X in this equation. We are much better at shutdowns than they are.
Yeah.
When we shut down the government, we are very clear in our messaging. Whether we get blamed or thanked or whatever, we're clear that we shut it down because of Obamacare. You know,
right.
We wanted to repeal and replace Obamacare. That's our goal. They don't have a goal. They just hate Trump.
Yeah. No, that's their whole problem. Is they don't have nobody on that side seems to have a positive agenda for what their vision is for the future. It's all Trump, orange man bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. If I was in politics, I would be it blows my mind that they can't articulate what's the positive message for the future. I watch The Five a lot. I don't know if you ever watch The Five on Fox News.
I do.
And Harold, you know, he is the most reasonable Democrat you've ever talked to. And he always has this positive idea for what to do. He's the one leftier Democrat on The Five, if you ever watch The Five on Fox News. And he's always got something. But, man, I tell you what, they could sure benefit by listening to something he says once in a while.
Yeah. Well, and you know, when I'm sitting here saying it in these clear of partisan terms, it's pretty bad. I try not to play the blame game or the what about game.
Mm-hmm.
I try to talk about policies and not just say, but Democrats suck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm to the point where there's no other way for me to explain it. Democrats chose to shut down the government with no end game in mind.
Right.
And it's easy to shut it down. The tricky part is the reopening negotiations, and they're not even trying yet. They haven't even started yet with a here's our ask. There's not an opening position for the negotiations, and we're 20 days in today.
So what do they expect the Republicans to do? What does the Democrats expect us to do?
I mean, according to the media, they expect us to fund Obamacare subsidies to the tune of $1.5 trillion, which, just for, you know, perspective on this, the entire spending bill last year that was controversial that we voted on was $1.2 trillion.
Okay.
So they want to attach $1.5 trillion as, like, a rider on a seven-week continuing resolution. But I don't even know that that's what Democrats really want.
Uh-huh.
The media has kind of coalesced around that on their behalf because they had nothing to write about.
So no Democrats have actually said that.
I think some of them have. Some of them want to repeal the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which, again, if you haven't been paying attention this year and everything we talked about with the One Big Beautiful Bill, if we let those tax cuts expire, it would increase taxes for everyone across the board. It'd be the largest tax increase in U.S. history.
Right.
So basically, they lost the election all the way across the board, and they want to win the election by saying, we'll keep the government shut down until you undo all the good work you've done that the voters mandated that we do.
Right. Right.
Is this tantamount to a Democrat temper tantrum? The toddler temper tantrum?
Yeah. This is that grocery store meltdown where I'm going to lay on the floor, go boneless, and make a lot of noise until I get what I want.
it kind of is.
Even though it's not reasonable to ask my mom to buy me a dog bed for the dog we don't have, but I'm in Walmart and I'm having a meltdown. And it's
That's a good analogy.
All right, a couple of questions. So last time you were on, you were talking about people were still throwing blame at the House of Representatives, even though you guys passed. Are you still getting that?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Now, people keep asking me what I'm doing to reopen the government, and I say, we already voted to fund the
government. We said yes, we're good.
Yeah, and then they'll say, okay, I know, but, like, what are you doing? Would you vote to pay the troops? I'm like, I already voted to pay the troops. Well, would you vote to pay federal workers that are furloughed? We already voted to fund the government.
Air traffic controllers?
All of those are subsets of everybody.
Yeah, they definitely are. All right, I know you don't love to do this, but let's play devil's advocate. Say the Democrats, the seven, never do cross the aisle. What's going to happen?
I guess eventually we have elections. I don't know. I mean, I think the term unprecedented gets thrown around a little too loosely lately. We act like a lot of things are unprecedented that there's precedent for. This actually is unprecedented. I have been doing some research on government shutdowns, and we've never had a shutdown over a clean CR. This is a first.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a strange battlefield.
Yeah.
And then we've never had a shutdown where the side that was holding out didn't know what they were asking for.
Is it possible that the Democratic Senate leadership or the Democratic bodies in the Senate could stage some sort of coup and unelect Schumer?
Sure.
And get new leadership that would say, yeah, I'll make a deal?
Yeah.
Could that happen?
It could happen.
Yeah.
They would have to decide what they want, though.
Okay.
I mean.
What if he just says, let's just get on the stupid impasse and get about to work, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the funny thing. If they said, okay, fine, for 3 weeks we've been completely intransigent on a clean CR, but we like clean CRs, as evidenced by hundreds and hundreds of statements we've all made in the past.
Right.
And they suddenly reopen the government. Then what we'd have to do is go pass appropriations bills, which gives them a whole bunch of actual substantive issues they could fight with us on.
Right, right.
But they decided to start the fight on nothing.
It's interesting. And it's all because Schumer took some heat back in March for the other thing. And now he's worried about Ocasio-Cortez taking a seat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Wow, they just get played.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, got to get a break in, you guys.
All right.
We'll take a break. Celeste Malloy is with us, as well as Jack Lancaster. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy Griffin, 936 on KDXU. These two folks in the room with me, Representative Celeste Malloy and Jack Lancaster, who represents something. I'm not sure.
I
don't know.
I represent me, myself, and I.
He's the everyman.
But they know that I am retiring soon, and I think they're good with it.
Right? I think that's the saddest thing ever.
Not good with it?
Come on.
I'm accepting the reality, but nobody asked for my vote.
Yeah. Damn it. I should have asked, I guess.
This is like the government shutdown. I voted the other way.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. I actually was going to leave at the end of this month. It sounds like with them kind of not getting someone hired, I'll be a little longer, a couple more weeks.
But woo-hoo.
Anyway, we'll be.
I know.
So. Also sounding like the government shutdown.
Yeah, a lot like that. Yeah. Right now, I got a text for you, Celeste, here in a second. But right now, I want to make sure, folks, I'm giving away breakfast and lunch for you. $10 ooh, gift card to the Donut Run and to Angelica's Mexican Grill. Right now, to whoever texts me, what should we have them text? Text me.
Maybe they should text their predictions on when the shutdown ends.
Oh, there we go. 2029. I don't know. Okay, yeah, just text me lunch to 435-467-5842. It's actually breakfast and lunch, right? Got donuts and some Angelicas. So 435-467-5842. For you, Celeste, a text from a listener said, why does Congress get paid during shutdown? Optics look bad.
Yeah, no, they're right. The optics are bad, but this is why it happens. So first of all, we get paid once a month. We haven't actually been paid yet. We'll get paid in a couple of weeks. But the reason is because the Constitution actually requires that Congress get paid for its work. And you can understand why at the time they were writing the Constitution, that would be important to the mm-hmm. founding fathers that, you know, but the reality now is that in order for us to not get paid, it would take a constitutional amendment. And that takes a 2/3 vote. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know.
Actually, I think that's a good amendment. In this day and age, that might be something.
Yeah.
I think it would change the calculus. You know,
it really would.
If it's personally painful to vote to shut down mm-hmm. the government, then you don't do it. And I am not a fan of shutdowns. I've even said that when Republicans were willing to shut down over something. Mm-hmm. I think they can be effective. Most of the time, they're not super effective, mm-hmm. and we just end up spending more money. But if members of Congress faced not getting a paycheck, it would be a different calculus. Now, that being said, we do only get paid once a month, and so it would be a long shutdown before we really feel the pain, yeah. and that's not true of other federal employees. Yeah. And so there'd still be a...
You just said something. How does the shutdown cost the government more money?
So usually, shutdowns they're almost always when Republicans are the ones holding out. Okay. I mean, this is a rare shutdown that it's Democrats holding out. So then when it's time to reopen, you have to go to the negotiating table, and what do Democrats always want to negotiate?
More money. Right.
And so that's the ugly secret that people don't admit out loud very often about shutdowns, is that we have always ended them in the past with an omnibus spending bill. And that's the one thing Republicans hate. And that's usually how shutdowns end. This one is different. We'll see. I'm still hopeful that this one ends with 12 appropriations bills. We've got them teed up and ready to go.
Okay.
And I hope that what we hold out for when Democrats are ready to end the shutdown is, okay, let's pass these appropriations bills, have a regular order budget like everyone's been asking for, mm-hmm. and then move forward with a real budget for which we can be accountable, where we have said we've got the purse strings, this is how the money's going to be spent. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
One of the things that makes me curious about it is, voted as a Congress, as a House of Representatives,
yep.
to approve the continuing resolution. You're almost held hostage if we didn't pay you guys, because the Senate won't do anything. And I'm sure people would say, well, I'll go call your Senate buddies and have them, you know, exert some influence upon them. But I'm guessing the Senate people don't really listen to you, House of Representatives people, very closely.
Well, no, traditionally they don't. But in a state like Utah, sure, I can call John Curtis and Mike Lee, mm-hmm. and we'll all agree.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really do anything. But I'm on, you know, I talk to a lot of my colleagues from other states who have Republican House members and Democrat senators right now, and their Democrat senators are not listening to them. They're not mm-hmm. taking calls from their colleagues in the House who are saying, you know, this is not cute. Yeah. We have so much work to do. We got elected with a mandate to do several things, and we've done a lot of them. The One Big Beautiful Bill did a lot of those things, but we still have a lot of government red tape to cut and inefficiencies to fix, and we're not doing any of those right now because we're shut down.
Is there a silver lining to this, as far as the Republicans are concerned, in that if the Democrats continually to get, let's say the blame starts really shifting mm-hmm. to the Democrat side for this, and then there starts to be some pain and maybe some unintended consequences for the Democrat, will that be reflected in Democrat negativity in the next Senate cycle of elections?
So I think that's the part nobody's talking about out loud that's at stake.
Mm-hmm.
I think Democrats would have ended this a long time ago, except now that they're in this situation, they feel like they have to turn it into a midterm election win for them. Mm. And I don't think they're going to be able to. I think the American people can see this for what it is. There are some people who will stay with the Democrats no matter mm-hmm. what. But your average person who doesn't like to spend a lot of time following politics, but is annoyed now because the TSA is slow and flights are delayed.
Yeah, flights are mm-hmm. delayed, yeah.
Or is irritated because they were ready to close on a house, but they're in a federal flood zone and they can't get federal flood insurance, mm-hmm. so they can't close on their house. Like, those people are annoyed, mm-hmm. and they go look at what the shutdown's about. It's not going to take them very long to figure out this is Democrats just being intransigent on nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a righteous cause that they're standing on. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are a diehard Democrat, you can rattle off a list of things that they're mad about. But if you're not, and those are the people who are up for grabs in a midterm election, they're saying, I don't get what Democrats are doing here. I just want them to grow up, and run the country so that I don't have to spend a lot of time thinking about what Congress is doing. Most people don't want to spend their time wondering what Congress is doing.
Mm-hmm.
They just want us to shut up, do our jobs, and do it behind the scenes so they don't have to know much about it.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a story on the top of the news, top of the hour news just a little while ago that said a lot of the people that... So if you work for the government, you're going to get paid when it reopens, right? But mm-hmm. but they... In the short term, they're in trouble because they have house payments and yep. car payments and utilities and everything. So a lot of them are calling in sick and then going and doing Uber jobs or doing mm-hmm. whatever you can because they have to make ends meet.
Yeah.
And that's a reality right there.
Yeah. And so if you're listening and you work for the federal government or you know someone who works for the federal government, I've talked to banks and credit unions in Utah and they've been through this before. And they know that a government shutdown doesn't make a federal employee a credit risk. So they will work with them. Call your lender before you miss your mortgage payment, before you miss your car payment. Tell them you're a federal employee. I was even, you know, in my app for my bank the other day, and I noticed there's a new little button at the top of the page that says, are you a federal employee? And I assume if you click that, then they reach out and work with you on how to get through. And I've talked to some people who said, well, yeah, they want to offer me a low interest loan, but why should I have to take out a loan to pay my bills when my employer's not paying me? That's not right. And they're right. It's not right. This is no way to run a world superpower.
Yeah.
We should be able to get ourselves together and make funding decisions before the deadline. It doesn't help our standing on the world stage. I mean, the whole thing is just, it shouldn't happen this way. But given that we are where we are, federal employees should be reaching out to their lenders now. Don't wait.
Yeah, and I think, unfortunately, in this world that we live in, sometimes they do wait. You know, people procrastinate, whatever it is, and then, I'm 3 weeks late for my payment. Now I'm going to call somebody and say, hey, bail me out. And at that point,
it's harder then.
Yeah.
And in defense of federal workers, I worked for the federal government for the first 12 years of my professional career. I never knew this until this shutdown. I actually had some people proactively reach out to me and tell me, hey, we have a whole bunch of lenders who know this is coming and they are willing to work with people. And that was news to me. So I called some of my old coworkers and said, have you ever heard of this? And none of them had. So I've got it on my website. I've been trying to talk about it on the radio, on the news, everywhere I go. So that people who really are getting crushed by forces they can't control, people who didn't get to vote on a shutdown, are not getting paid. And whatever we can do to make that easier for them, we should be doing it.
You think about it.
But you still have to pay your taxes.
Yeah. Don't be ridiculous. The government needs your money, whether it's funded or not.
Still can make those quarterly payments.
Think about the ripple effect, though, Celeste, you're talking about. You know, if you have to delay your loan payment, and then maybe your loan officer doesn't get paid, or maybe the bank, you know, the people that work for the loan company, I mean, there's such a ripple effect in everything that we do.
Yeah.
All really because some senators won't pass a CR.
Because seven Democrats won't do the right thing. And they know it's the right thing to do. It's just become politically tricky.
Do you know of, there's a Democrat senators for Nevada, right?
Yeah, two of them.
Two of them. Are they budging at all? Have you had any chance?
One of them is one of the four who's crossed over.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Good. Yeah. Good. Nice. I would think that they would do that because, I mean, the federal government's a big employer in Nevada.
The federal government's a big employer almost everywhere. I was shocked. I saw a ranking of states with the most federal employees, and Utah's not even close to the top, which shocked me, until you look at where military bases are, and then it starts to make some more sense. But, you know, it's not just the number of federal employees we have in Utah, but with all the federal land we have, you know, people here have to work with the federal government on, you know, if you guide hunts, if you graze on public land, if you are mining or logging or recreating or doing anything on public land, it's all disrupted right now because the
U.S. Forest Service, BLM, all those.
Plus the IRS with the quarterly deadline.
Yeah, and our office up there in Ogden.
All right, well, we've got to fund the Andy Griffin Show right now.
Okay.
So play some commercials. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy Jack and Representative Celeste Malloy. Somebody got after me, Celeste, a while back for calling you Celeste instead of Representative Malloy.
It's a hard thing to balance. Yeah. I'm used to answering to my name, but the office deserves a level of respect.
True.
It's a tough balancing act.
I understand.
Mr. Lancaster.
Okay.
Representative Lancaster.
Sir. Mr. Andy.
Debbie, by the way, was the winner of the breakfast and lunch.
All right, Debbie.
Courtesy of Donut Run and Angelica's Mexican Grill. Very
wow.
Cool. All right, got a question. I have a question for Celeste Malloy. Is there a representative from Utah or somewhere that we can call that is in charge of the U.S. Postal Service? I don't know if you know the answer to that.
Well, yes, call my office. There are a lot of Postal Service issues right now. We're dealing with a lot of Postal Service issues. So
yeah.
Go to my website, malloy.house.gov, and send us a message and we'll get right back to you because we're working on a lot of those right now.
Do you, I've always been curious about this. So you're very public, you know, public figure, very public office. Do you get a bunch of emails every single day, like hundreds?
Yes.
Every day?
But it's pretty easy to sort out. So we get thousands of emails a day, but a lot of them are identical. So you'll get, you know, some of these things that are like, call your congressman and tell them this.
Yeah.
A lot of them are like, click here and it'll send it. And so you can batch pretty quickly. Like we got 7,000 emails that are identical.
Oh boy.
And we will answer them, but they don't take as much time as say somebody from Rockville reaching out and saying, we have an issue with our post office. That's clearly not going to be it's called an email campaign. So it's not an email campaign kind of email.
Good.
And
makes
so
sense.
Those get handled differently.
Mm. So some people were asking me about the government shutdown and our troops, the men and women that work to protect our country. Are they getting paid?
They are. And it's a temporary fix right now. So the president and Secretary Hegseth went through the couch cushions and found all the loose change in the military, and they took an R&D, a research and development budget line, and used it to pay the troops for this month. And I don't know, I haven't been able to get an exact answer out of anybody of how long they can pay the troops with that.
Mm-hmm.
For now, the troops are paid. And another interesting one that I get asked about a lot is WIC. So originally, on October 1st, everyone was saying WIC would run out of money in a week or 2 weeks, depending which state you're in.
Mm-hmm.
But President Trump found a 1930s era law that's still on the books that says we can use tariff revenues to pay for food. Hmm. So WIC is actually funded. It's not one of those we took a different line item. Like as long as there are tariff revenues coming in, WIC stays funded.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those things that just starts to feel inhuman at some point. The government's shut down, so poor families can't buy diapers. But they're going to be able to buy milk and diapers.
Yeah, every day, something about Trump just blows my mind. The guy just working at light speed, you know, to get stuff done, and he finds stuff. We're so not used to a president who's so accessible, who's so on the ball for every little thing that, you know, and sometimes it... And the thing is, when I hear something negative about him, I don't know whether I trust it or not anymore, to be honest with you.
It is hard to know what's real and what's not anymore. One thing I think you can trust, the White House press corps tends to not be pro-Trump.
Uh-huh.
And even they admit they can't keep up with him.
Yeah.
Like, he's wearing reporters out.
Wow.
They can't stay awake.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, now I'm going to hop on another plane and go to another country and solve another problem.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
And they have, like, rotating teams now because they can't. There's usually just the same press corps that travels with him.
Right.
But he's wearing all of them out.
I wanted to ask you real quick, and we only got 3 minutes left, that there was much ado last week about reporters turning in their badges in the Pentagon because they were told they had to follow certain policies and stuff. Do you know anything about this and what the end result is?
Yeah, I think it's still ongoing. I don't think we have an end result yet. It is an interesting debate. When I walked in, you guys were talking about, you know, how much control one person should have.
Right.
And that is such an American debate. We have to have it, no matter how much you like the president, no matter how much you support him. And I don't know all the details of what it was they were supposed to sign, but we do need to be able to question our government. People do need to be able to say, I'm not sure I agree with what the government's doing right now. We also need national security to be secure. We don't need reporters giving away our national security secrets or saying what the Department of War is planning. So I think that's a developing situation where we're finding that balance. It's interesting, though, because Trump has been very much on the side of transparency mm-hmm. as a president.
Yeah.
And this feels like it's out of step with the rest of what's going on in the administration.
Right, that's why I asked.
And that's why I'm a little cautious here. It seems un-Trump-like to kick reporters out of things because he likes to have reporters there.
Is that something, if Congress had a mind to do, that they could reverse that? If the Congress had a mind to reverse it, could they do it?
Probably.
Legally?
Yeah, and but the more likely branch to it is the court. I mean, this is a First Amendment question of does this violate someone's First Amendment right to hold the military accountable?
Yeah.
And there's already a lawsuit going, and so that's why I don't want to weigh in too hard one way or the other. I don't have all the facts yet either. Okay. But I do think no matter how strongly you support a party or a president, you've always got to be willing to ask those hard questions, like, has this violated the First Amendment? And if so, then we've got to course correct.
Right.
And that's the beauty of our system, is that we have the ability to always question our government. We also have the ability to keep course correcting. Decisions don't have to be final.
Right.
Just because the government screwed something up doesn't mean we can't go fix it.
Yeah.
Well, and I love that answer. Years ago, I've been a sports writer my whole life. Years ago, I wrote something not very kind about a team I thought was well-deserved. I actually had a coach that would refuse to talk to me. And actually kind of sort of kicked me out of a press conference because he didn't like what I had written. And to me, when I see something like that happen with the Pentagon, I'm like, is this somebody not liking something? So they're going to make him sign, oh, you're only going to write nice stuff about us now. So I like your answer in that we need to have that transfer. You need to be able to write something that, if you see something wrong, you need to be able to write about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's how a lot of these course corrections have happened through our history. And, you know, I'm in politics. People disagree with me all the time.
Yeah.
People say unkind things about me all the time. Yeah. I don't know if you have ever been on social media or not, but people are very willing to express their opinions. And I still have to represent those people. I still have to talk to those people.
Yeah.
There are some people I talk to on a regular basis who are coming after me really hard a year ago. That's part of living in a free country.
Right.
You just have to take your lumps sometimes and keep going.
Right.
As long as it doesn't cross those lines, you know, like what happened with Charlie Kirk. As long as it doesn't cross those lines where you're being violent.
Because that's not criticism. That's the opposite of free speech.
Yeah. That's not,
criticizing people is within bounds.
Yeah.
Killing people is out of bounds.
Completely.
It should be.
It's
supposed to be, but it's
supposed to.
Nowadays, it makes you wonder.
But there is a big turning point event tonight honoring Charlie Kirk in Washington County. And I think that's good and appropriate, and I plan to be there.
And what time and where?
I think it's at 6 o'clock at...
I put you on the spot.
Yeah,
sorry.
Now I can't remember where it is.
Well, I'm sure there's...
at the Dixie Center.
Dixie Center. Awesome.
At
6 o'clock.
Jack Lancaster, Representative Celeste Molloy. Thank you both so much for
being here.
Good
to see you again.
Thank you.
I'll be back tomorrow, Washington County Commission on the show here on the Andy Griffin Show. See you, everybody.